Let's welcome in John Greco. He joins us every week. John Greco, former Browns guard, current Browns analyst. He joins us on the Fan Hotline. John, how the hell are you this morning?
Here I am. Good morning, Ken. How are you guys?
Here he is once again. Yes, John Greco. John, did you watch the quarterbacks with a specific reason in mind over the weekend, the way that Jimmy Haslam might have been when he was at the games?
No, I did not. It's hard for me to even think about next year's quarterbacks when we, you know, invested so much time and energy into this year's quarterback room, only for, you know, the switcheroo to be made with Kenny Pickett. I'm trying to have nearsightedness when it comes to this team, and I'm not quite yet ready to mail it in and start talking about 2026 draft. But it was nice to see some of those. I mean, let's be honest. There's kind of four names that we're looking at, four quarterbacks that we're going to be keeping an eye on this year, and one of them that played against the Browns against the Buckeyes, had a lackluster start, and we'll see why that may have been. Could have been Matt Patricia's new defense. Could it have been just a little bit shaky boots in week one in a hostile environment. You know, something tells me that young man's going to look a lot different a month from now than he did Saturday down here in Columbus. But, Beck, so some of the other players, the LSU kid, I thought they shined and looked good. So, obviously, that's going to be a topic of conversation throughout the year, and a lot of eyes are going to be on them, given the Browns do have some serious ammo going into next year's draft.
All right, John, so when you think about the upcoming season, seems like every year we have, hopes for a playoff run, or, when you're starting like a first year quarterback, then you're like, all right, expectations are at a different spot. But with this team, you're starting a 40-year-old quarterback. You've got guys, holdovers from previous playoff teams, but yet nobody seems to think you're going to be very good. So what is this season all about?
Yeah, it's funny that we're finally here and that is becoming a reality. The narrative was, which one of these four quarterbacks in the room is going to be the starter? And then we were so concerned about who was going to be the number two that it was like, week one seemed light years away. Well, here we are, and it's now a reality. And going to this into this season, I honestly don't know what I think is going to happen. And, Joe Flacco and this team, defensively and the guys that they've assembled around Joe offensively, they might surprise everybody and come out to a hot start. I know the schedule is difficult and it'll be an uphill battle, but we don't know what it's going to look like. There might be some young guys that shine, that surprise everyone, and they could be competitive, especially Cincinnati. We'll look at, what's directly ahead of us. They've had a sluggish start in September in recent years. And I think the guys in the locker room see the writing on the wall and say, look, I don't know if anybody is really giving us a chance this year or thinks we're going to be very good. And, when you're in the first couple of days of September, those conversations still matter and they can make a difference. I don't want to say and that derailing this season is going to happen on purpose. We'll get to that conversation later in the year if we have to. But I think right now, everybody in that building, everybody that's getting ready to suit up on Sunday, thinks they're going to win and thinks that they can, come out and start hot and make it competitive here in the first month of the season. And then the narrative changes. And then you're looking at next year, the next draft and adding pieces to the puzzle. A lot of these young rookies have shined in limited opportunities in the preseason. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do. I want to see them come out and you have Joe Flacco, who's steady, who has leadership, who is not afraid to throw the ball downfield. So I hope they give him a chance to do that. And let's see where let's see what happens. So I'm just kind of looking right in front of me what's happening now and saying it's hard for me to even think about past this week. And maybe that I'm naive in thinking that. But as a player, I was like, who cares? Let's just lock out the noise, limit distractions. Let's go try to beat Cincinnati and start 1-0 in our division.
John Greco joining us here on the Fan Hotline. What do you think that Joe Burrow might struggle with that we could take advantage of?
Well, their offensive line, let's be honest, isn't very good. I don't think they've improved. I think that has been an area of concern for them in recent years. And, you know, when you have a guy like Joe Burrow that's at the top of his game, and when he gets time, he's able to find his weapons and really, really be a disruptor. For them not to really address that, and they've tried. It's not like they're just like, oh, let's throw anybody out there. But that's kind of what it looks like. And they've missed on some picks and some free agent acquisitions. But, you know, rattling him and getting around his legs and having orange helmets flash in his field of vision, that is going to disrupt him. And I think that this team, this Browns defense, is fully capable of doing that. I'm curious to see what they have dialed up. You know, you have a couple young guys in there. So are they going to create pressures? Or are they going to sit back in coverage? I don't know what the plan defensively will be, but I think getting him off his rhythm, and if you start hitting him early and send a message early, if Myles Garrett on the first third down or the first play pass rush opportunity of the game, if he's flashing by Joe Burrow and hitting him, I think it could be a long day for Burrow and the Bengals. So that's really it. You have to kind of try to disguise things, and he's a young player. He's very smart. He's very bright. He knows defenses. You're not necessarily going to fool him and throw something at him that he's never seen before. But I think just keeping him off his rhythm to where he looks kind of like he's hopping around in the backfield and maybe pumping the ball a little bit before he delivers. If we can get him off of his rhythm and hit him early and often, I think that's how you get him out of his game. Because when he just sits back there with the confidence that, hey, no one's coming near me, no one's touching me, or I don't really care, I'm just going to deliver to these guys, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, that's when that guy becomes dangerous. When he has that confidence and that swagger about him that we all see, that's when he becomes dangerous. So to get him off that, you got to hit him early and often, try to disguise some of the defenses, show him different looks, and really the crowd's got to be into it. And if the crowd's into it and they're hitting him early, I think we'll be okay.
John Greco with us on the hotline. We've heard so much from people that have been at camp every day, and people have talked to Kevin Stefanski. There's going to be a bunch of two tight end stuff. So you're going to see a lot of heavy packages. What does that mean for, you know, this offense, what their identity is going to be, and what does it mean for the running game?
Yeah, you know, Anthony, that tells me that, you know, probably not trying to spread it out much, obviously, when you'll have two attached tight ends. But that there's a couple parts to this answer. Those tight ends have to be terrific in the run game and in blocking if they expect the run game to look anywhere decent. Because when you attach tight ends, you know, they're in combination with the tackles, or they're one-on-one on the backside and trying to cut off, you know, a defensive end or an outside linebacker. So those guys have to be buttoned up and dialed in their technique and assignment. But what that also tells me is that they're trying to, you know, condense the box on the other side of the line of scrimmage defensively for Cincinnati. Bring more guys in the box, and then you get a hat on the hat, and that's how they create those deep shots with the play action. So hopefully early they're able to get some runs popped open and pick up 4, 5, 6. And then you bring a safety down, you cheat him in, and then that's where you hit some maybe delayed play actions to these tight ends, David Njoku, Harold Fannin. And I want to see what they can do over the top. So if they can really do max protect and help some of these guys in protection and take deep shots and let Flacco, you know, really, really test the field and stretch the field vertically, like I said in the opening comments, I think that's how you'll see the Browns get big chunk plays, get down in the red zone. And I think you're definitely going to see these tight ends featured in the red zone. And that's been kind of a struggle for the Browns offense lately. And when I say lately, these past couple seasons, it's about, you know, moving the ball between the red zones hasn't really been a huge issue. Now, I know sometimes they haven't, and they've done three and outs and have stalled a little bit and have had turnovers. But once they get down in the red zone, especially in the tight red zone, they just haven't been able to punch it in for six. So I want to see those tight ends, you know, get them on the line of scrimmage, have them block, have them delay release, have some play actions, and have Joe Flacco find them in the end zone, because that's going to be what makes or breaks this offense this year. Are they kicking field goals, and then are we worried about, my God, is this guy making, is this guy missing it, or are they converting for touchdowns? And I think that's going to be a big storyline. But having those guys block, having those guys sell, blocks and then release and pass play actions. That's going to be big, and that's what I'm going to be watching here Sunday.
Well, you talked about having those very, very noisy boxes with a lot more defenders coming up. And obviously, when we had Nick Chubb and in his prime, that didn't seem to bother him all that much. What type of running back is, you know, really going to be okay with having that many bodies around them and still able to get production?
Yeah, you know, I think these running backs that we have in the, you know, and obviously one of them's young, and we don't know about Junkins. You know, we'll see what happens this week if they end up getting him signed and if they can get him up to speed, but that's a different conversation. But look, Jerome Ford's been there. He's been around this tree before. He's been in the room with Nick Chubb, and I can guarantee you when, you know, the coaches put up a highlight tape and you can see everybody working in unison, the quarterback selling the handoff, stretching it, finishing his release and rollout. When you see the tight ends, the tackles, the guards, the centers working in unison, getting a hat on the hat, getting the second level. And then at the end of the day, guys, you got to make one man miss. There's always going to be an unblocked guy, a safety or a nickel or someone in the secondary. So can Jerome Ford do that? Can Dylan Sampson do that? We'll see. I think Jerome Ford has shown the ability that he can do that and make those big home run hits. But it's about getting a hat on the hat up front early, and they're definitely going to test that early with the outside zone stretch. So, you know, condensed boxes, I'm okay with that because as long as you get a hat on the hat and get your defender moving laterally, but you're also displacing him off the line of scrimmage, then they'll have success. And then it's just about, you know, the running back having the vision, having some of the attributes that got them to this situation in the NFL. You know, they're getting the ball, they're using their eyes, they're hitting their targets, they're hitting the gap where they're supposed to, you know, hit by the design of the run. But also this zone scheme, a lot of these plays are like quote unquote design cutbacks, where it's not really like a counter where they're cutting back. They're just naturally curving their target and cutting back off the backside combination blocks, which these Browns guards and tackles are so good at. So I'm excited to see what these guys have to do. And I think you're going to see some big chunk runs early. And then that's when the play action starts creeping in. And you have these same formations where it looks like, hey, run, run, run. Oh, all of a sudden, Joe Flacco still has that ball. And we're seeing somebody scream down the sidelines catching a big one.
Are you still 7-8 wins?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I think that's realistic. And, you know, my God, a lot of people were really angry when I said that. And then, you know, the three of us talked on your show how some people thought that was an undersell, which, hey, great. But yeah, I think it's going to be where they're going to be in a lot. They're going to find themselves in a lot of close games, and then we'll be able to dissect under a microscope what happened in those games. You know, was it a turnover? Was it a missed kick? Was it a special teams thing? There's going to be so many small things that determine one way or another in these games. But I think they're capable of winning 7, 8, 9 games. I'll say 9 games. Because I think this, you know, in their division, they've shown that I know there's some terrific teams in their division and terrific individual players, but anybody can beat anybody in the division. And do they have a tough, road schedule, tough schedules, especially early? Yes. But anything can happen in the NFL. And I think they have the defense for it when they're healthy. And I think they have the leadership at quarterback with Joe Flacco. If they can keep them upright, hopefully they have enough weapons that where he can distribute it and they can score some points.
John Greco, find him on Twitter at John_Greco77. John, thank you very much for the time. Hopefully we're talking to you after we're 1-0 on next Tuesday.
I can't wait to watch. You guys have a great week.
You too. John Greco joining us on the Fan Hotline.